W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH. The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios, this is the WTH Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome into another episode of the WTH Podcast. We are streaming live on Facebook right now. If you're watching on YouTube later, thanks for doing that as well. This is the Friday episode of the WTH Podcast. So the first one we did not stream.
Nope.
We're playing around with some issues with stuff, and we wanted to kind of see what it would end up being. So We're the guinea pigs around Chia.
We are experimenting in a good way.
Absolutely. So coming up on the show today, we got a lot of clips to get to. We are going to see what's going on in the campaign for, specifically on the Democratic side. Plus, someone who predicted Donald Trump would win an election also had another big prediction. We'll look in on that. And we'll chat a little bit about the new Mustang Mach-E.
I can't wait to see that one.
But before we get to all of that, let's chit chat a little bit. Such a weird time of year, because I know in my former life in TV that right now we are in the TV ratings period. If you're watching local TV, you're seeing a lot of little ads for this heartfelt story coming up Wednesday at 10. I used to do those things. So I know that they're on, and as I'm watching, I'm seeing them, and I'm not super interested in any of the ones I've seen so far.
Well, they did that whole night on Paradise last week or the week before.
Yeah, and I think there were a bunch of stations that did stuff on that. I don't think that it's that I'm cold-hearted. I think it's more that I just can't. It's so much devastation and sadness, and I don't want to relive it.
Yeah.
You know, even by saying, oh, hey, everything is looking better now. It's like those people went through hell and back to get there.
Yes.
And it's not really entertaining for me to watch that.
I get that.
That's just my personal. I know a lot of people super down with it. They want to see what's happened. For a lot of the people that went through it, it's very therapeutic because they're talking about it. It's just not something I'm going to sit down and watch. It's a lot.
Yeah, I think I flipped through a couple and was like, yeah, okay, I don't want to see this. Because I actually went up there and saw.
Oh, yeah. So you've got a little bit closer look at everything.
Yeah. So I'm just like, I'm with you in that where I didn't want to relive it. I'll probably end up having to go back up there at some point for work.
I have to imagine that the scars are everywhere in terms of the destruction and the devastation.
It is.
And it's going to be for years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just can't. You know what blew me away, though, is even though it was the ratings period, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, there was no new Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. I don't know what happened with that.
Who knows?
I've been watching more this season, more for the cold openings or the political.
Sure.
And it's been really hit and miss. It's been either it's a really good skit, or it's just something that's like, what the hell were y'all thinking?
Yeah. I mean, that's been SNL for quite a while now. Yeah. But it's just one of those things where I'm like, why isn't there anything new? And it's still really weird. So this is going to be, I'm coming up on a year since my job was disappeared. And it led me on this journey to where I am now an entrepreneur and a business owner. And it's been a really exhausting year in a lot of ways, a lot of really great things and a lot of really exhausting things along the way, be above and beyond the business. There's been a lot of stuff on the personal side dealing with, everything from the roof springing a leak and going through the process of getting a new roof and getting solar and a new HVAC. I mean, that's a massive project to go through. I mean, nothing when you're comparing it to, hey, everybody's house burned down. But
well, you did also add a kid to your life.
We have a foster in our home, which is also another thing. And I had zero experience with children. None really, especially infants. And, you know, it became a situation where I was really the primary person taking care of this little bundle.
They kind of melt the cold or the ice around your heart.
Well, once you get past the extreme fear that you're going to do something terribly, terribly wrong, because that was the big thing, was like, how do I even handle this? How do I even handle any of this? And when you're becoming a foster, when we were looking at becoming a foster family, we were talking about having kids that were out of diapers, you know, kids that were 3 years old, 4 years old, and they have a different set of issues that they're all dealing with. Every foster kid has a different set of issues that they're dealing with. They've been removed from their homes at some point. They've gone through some trauma. So there's stuff to deal with there, but we weren't really planning on getting an infant. So we weren't revved up for that. We weren't like, oh yeah, we're going to get a baby. We're going to do that. We're going to go that route. It just sort of worked out that way. And so I had virtually no ramp up to it at all. I mean, I guess that's good and bad, but it was one of those things where it was like, here you go. And everybody's like, oh, it's kind of good because you didn't have 9 months to worry about it. I'm like, I didn't have 9 months for anything.
Yeah.
It was just like, here you go. It was almost as sudden as, hey, your job, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. So it's what's funny with that is I am a kid magnet. Kids love me. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why, but it's been that way since I was in the Air Force. But when my goddaughter was born, her mother told me, you're not going to be afraid of her. And so every time I would go by their house, which was pretty much every day because their house was between my job and my house, my job and my home, mm-hmm. I would go stop by the house to see her and she would give her to me.
Gotcha.
And so that's where my comfort with infants or babies comes from. And before that, I was you.
I'm like, what? I don't even know what to do here. Where, what is anything? What it, you know, and so it's all part of a growth process and everything, but it's been and I know you've had a very trying year in a lot of different ways, and everybody's got their challenges. You know, we're not any worse off than anybody else, but it's just been something as I sort of think back, because I'm coming up on this milestone. And of course my third wedding anniversary, which is coming up on the 25th, it's just been a lot to go through everything and kind of figure it out. And then because everything is scale, when you think about the people who lost everything, I mean, even the people who live in an area where PG&E just randomly turns the power off because the wind's blowing. Yeah. So that they don't burn down their town.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, by the way, the wind's blowing. We're going to turn your power off so that we don't burn down your town too.
Yes. I know it's an inconvenience, but hey.
It gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling, doesn't it? That the power's out for your own good.
Yeah, we can put you in the dark for a little bit, or we can bring you down there. Which one do you want?
And having gone up to Reading recently and talked to to a lot of Leslie's relatives up there, for them, they're just going, Well, hell, this is what life's gonna be like now.
Yeah.
It sucks. They're all looking at like, well, we need to get a generator now and it needs to be this big and we had to do this and blah, blah, blah. And it's.
Well, look, PG&E gave you enough notice to know that you would need to get a generator. My folks live in the South and they deal with hurricanes every year.
Sure.
And in the last 4 or 5 years, the generator has been the thing. Everybody's been out to get a generator because they know hurricane season, you're going to need a generator.
Yeah.
So you can think of this as hurricane season.
Yeah, but hurricane season is anytime the wind blows. It's not quite the same. It's really weird. But anyway, let's move forward here with the show. So Apparently, the Pete Buttigieg campaign has been using a stock photo of a Kenyan woman for its Douglas plan for Black America. I've been hearing great things about Frederick Douglass. How about you?
Oh, man. My what's it called last week?
This not specifically. You sent this to me on Twitter this week. So
I'm going to say this again.
You were talking about Pete Buttigieg.
Pete Buttigieg.
But this isn't Pete Buttigieg. This is some media company that did not do their due diligence.
This is Pete Buttigieg's campaign.
Right.
So
all you need is one idiot.
Mainstream media. Pete is up in Iowa. Guess what? I've been to Iowa. There are 10 black people.
Mm.
There are 10 black people in Iowa. I've been there.
By the way, the lady in Kenya is very confused.
A stock photo of a Kenyan is not helping your cause with black people.
It really isn't. It really isn't. And the funny thing is, I've been on these stock photo websites before. There's a ton of them out there.
Yes.
And they almost always make it very clear that it's somebody in a different country, if it is, you know, especially if you're looking around, you know, it may say African-American person or whatever, but if it's somebody who's in another part of the world, they will almost always say so because there's usually something in there. Now they looked at that photo and they thought, oh, there's a black woman talking to a black child. Isn't this sweet?
Yes.
And it is.
It is.
In Kenya.
Pete, we're not voting for you because we don't know you. And you do not have any black people that are standing up to speak out for you.
And it's just the beginning.
No, I have not. I've seen some black people on Twitter for Pete. I have not seen a black person on stage with or for Pete.
You know what's really weird? There are more. So what you're saying is there's more blacks for Trump than for Pete.
Exactly.
That's not good.
That is not good.
That's not a good sign.
Your record in Indiana is what they're holding against you. And the fact that we don't know who the fuck you are, it has nothing to do with you being gay. It might be for like a small percentage of people.
Sure.
But stop using the trope that it's because black people are homophobic. No, we don't know who the fuck you are. You look like the villain from, you look like the guy who called the police on everybody or reporters to the principal. And we don't know you. And this did not help your cause.
This is not good. You have to fire the company that did this.
Mainstream media, stop trying to push Pete on us and stop pushing black people to the back. This is what you do when you go to Iowa and you talk about this is who's going to decide the election. You keep talking about white people in middle America. That's not who's going to decide the election. You've already lost those motherfucking people. That's not who is going to decide the election. Black people in Milwaukee, in Pennsylvania, and in Michigan who are going to turn out because they want to turn out, because you give them a reason to turn out, are going to be who decides the election. Stop fooling yourself, because that's who the only people you're fooling now. Every black commentator that comes on all of these shows already knows this. You are the only motherfuckers that don't know it and won't admit it.
It's not a good look. And even though, yeah, it's somewhat at a creative agency.
Even my girlfriend's like, that. It is like they're trying to push him down our throats. And she's white.
She is. It's true. Meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren, also running for president, strong snark game on Twitter. She tweets, I've heard there are some billionaires who don't support my 2-cent wealth tax. If they want to cry about paying their fair share, we've got the perfect mug for them. Head to the official Warren for President shop now to get your very own billionaire tears mug.
Oh my God. I'm getting one of those tonight. I am ordering one of those on my way home when I get home.
It just says, if you're not watching on video, it just says, it's a white mug. It says billionaire tears. And underneath it says Warren. She is trolling on. She's using online the way Trump did. If Trump were smart, yeah, and not just hammering people over the head with stuff.
Because he's just angry.
Cause, yeah. Well, and make no mistake, Trump did very well with his online presence for a variety of reasons, but because he was on all the time and he used like these catchy things and he shared this, she's doing the same thing. Now, this is not going to play well with angry dudes who support Trump. It's not. And I was in Reading. I saw people, I saw a pickup driving around. It had two flags in the back. I couldn't see the other one. One of them was a Trump 2020 flag. Yeah. And I saw someone also had a Trump 2020 flag mounted to a 8-foot tree stump in their front yard.
Yeah, they're the ones that want to secede from the state.
Exactly. Exactly. State of Jefferson. And there was a setup like on a corner, like on a road, you know, like an empty lot. Yeah. And they were selling a bunch of different flags, everything from Coors Light to a Trump 2020 to one with just Che Guevara's head on it. And I thought, wow, they've got something for everyone here, except for me, because I ain't buying any of this. Yeah. So that is billionaire tears. Now, meanwhile, speaking of black people deciding things, Kareem, these two lovely ladies,
oh my God,
they went on Fox News to talk about Deval Patrick, who has decided that he's going to jump into the Democratic primary. If you're unfamiliar with Deval Patrick, he is a former governor of Massachusetts who then went to work for Bain Capital. You remember Bain Capital? That's where Mitt Romney earned his bones.
Yes.
So he's doesn't necessarily seem like the reforming sort of politician that a lot of people are looking for.
I was actually hoping that he was going to run in 2016. I think he missed his opportunity. So I would rather he sit this one out.
If he was going to get into it, he's in way too late. But these lovely ladies, Diamond and Silk, they're known. They're Fox Nation personalities. You've heard, we've played them on the show before. They have a little bit of a breakdown of the Deval Patrick joining the fray in the crowded 2020 field.
With Patrick Deval jumping into the race, they're trying to do a 52.
Deval Patrick, lady, not Patrick Deval. Deval Patrick.
Fake out.
That's
They're
right.
trying to hoodwink and bamboozle Black America to try to gain that momentum that they had when it came to Obama mm-hmm. and Black Americans coming out in droves to vote. And I don't think it's going to work. It's going to blow up in their face.
And remember, last time we voted Black, and look at where that got us.
Right.
Absolutely nowhere. And the Obama phone didn't get it for Black America. The only person able to beat Donald Trump hadn't even been born yet. So all of these people jumping in right now lets us know that their candidates are all losers.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh my God.
A lot to unpack there. These ladies are a huge favorite of the Fox News channel.
Oh yeah.
They're loud, they're boisterous, they're African American, and they love Donald Trump.
They are, what's her name from the last show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The person who's going to beat Donald Trump hasn't been born yet. What does that even mean?
They don't even understand that he lost the popular vote by 3 million votes.
Yeah. There's that. I mean, but this is people sit and watch Fox News. And yes, there's some of this on MSNBC. Yes, there is absolutely some of this on MSNBC.
There's none of this shit on MSNBC.
Not to this level, but the partisanship is what I'm talking about.
There's none of this shit on MSNBC.
I'm not saying there's good people on both sides, Kareem. I'm just saying, and it's not equivalent.
And
either.
Actually, the worst one is CNN, because they bring people like this on CNN. Not quite to this extent, but they're pretty damn close.
Please stop. Yes. Please stop. How about I'm going to dragnet you for a moment and go just the facts. Enough of this. We've got 24 hours a day to fill with opinion. Stop.
So I've watched the Roger Ailes documentary. I watched the the show that Russell Crowe did. And then today I listened to a podcast by the guy who wrote the book that they did the show from.
Right.
And back to my white woman thing.
Yes.
There is a white woman who runs Fox News now.
Okay.
She does the same shit that Roger Ailes did. Actually, worse at this point. As far as the content of the because she has driven out Shep Smith, who was the only real reporter left.
Right.
Because they have moved that much further to the right. And they specifically lie to their people.
It's a mess.
Again, accomplices, not victims.
It's an interesting time to be alive, isn't it? For sure. I mean, absolutely. So, mentioned this earlier, this gentleman predicted Donald Trump would be elected in 2016. He also had another very big prediction. I'll allow the host on MSNBC to break it down for you.
Lichtman, a historian who has correctly predicted every election since 1984 and who, well before the inquiry began, predicted the impeachment of Donald Trump, which remains to be seen the extent to which he may be impeached. But, you know, Alan, with a welcome to you. Absolutely fascinating because you predicted this impeachment. Give me context in terms of how long ago you did this, why then, and does it now seem inevitable to you?
I actually predicted Donald Trump's impeachment the very same time I predicted his election in a September 2016 Washington Post interview. We're talking more than 3 years ago.
Before he was elected, he predicted that he would be elected and predicted that he would be impeached. And by the way, this dude looks a little like Dr. Oz's long lost cousin, doesn't he?
He does.
A little bit. Dr. Oz with a really big wig.
His older brother.
That is not his real hair.
No.
It's certainly not his current hair color. Let's keep going for just another minute.
How was I able to predict impeachment? Because I had studied Donald Trump's entire career. And here's what I learned. This was someone who had no respect for the law whatsoever, who had repeatedly flouted the law, starting with his real estate company discriminating against minorities way back in the early 1970s. This was someone who had no regard for the truth or even for reality. This was someone who had spent his entire life enriching himself, promoting his own brand, and caring for nobody else. Those traits, I believed, would inevitably lead him to crash against law, morality, and the proper role of the president once he was elected. And impeachment is now inevitable. The Democrats would never have taken it this far. We know how cautious Nancy Pelosi is without actually voting articles of impeachment in the full House. The only question is the scope and content of those articles.
So the way you describe Donald Trump there, it's pretty damning, particularly for those Republicans in particular who believe that perhaps when he assumed the mantle of the presidency and got behind the desk in the Oval Office, he would change. How do you account for those people who saw what you see, which many people had clamored and said, this is the Donald Trump that we're about to elect? How do you account for them passing their votes to him?
You know, people see what they want to see. But the reason I predicted Donald Trump's victory had nothing to do with Donald Trump. It had to do with the fact that based on my system, the 13 keys to the White House, I discerned this was a change election and any generic Republican would win.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Any generic Republican or this guy.
Yes.
That's a heck of a prediction. I'm just saying. That's
13 keys to the White House. We would look that up
right
at some point.
Yeah, well, maybe on Monday's show, maybe we'll go ahead and do that. All right, let's go ahead and do this now.
Let's leave the hustle.
No. Not yet.
Florida.
There we go.
Land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Headline: reckless driver told cops he was racing home after cheating on his wife.
Trying to get home, take a shower before she get home.
Florida man was pulled over Sunday night for driving recklessly. He told police he needed to get home in a hurry because he was cheating on his wife. That's according to the arrest affidavit. Now, cops report that John Earl Picard, 52, was behind the wheel of a 2015 Honda that was going in excess of 90 miles per hour in a 55. When he was stopped by Tarpon Springs police around 7:30 p.m., he was apparently en route to his Palm Harbor residence following an extramarital fling. He indicated his driving was reckless and endangered because he needed to get home in a hurry because he was cheating on his wife. If you're watching the video, there he is. He was busted for reckless driving, a misdemeanor, but when cops searched him, they found a baggie with crack cocaine in his shirt pocket, leading to an additional felony drug arrest. Now, police report that spontaneously he had just purchased it for $50.
Oops.
He was released from county jail late Sunday night, posted $22.50. In bond, he's scheduled for a December 5th court appearance. He was arrested back in March for domestic battery following a confrontation with his 55-year-old wife. He allegedly shoved and scratched his spouse during an argument after his wife requested that her husband not be prosecuted on the misdemeanor count. The case was dropped by the state's attorney's office. And now you found out he was cheating on you. And he had crack. There you go. Aren't you glad you dropped the charges? Also in Florida... Oh, boy. It was a bad day at Disney. Headline, sex offender groped Princess Ariel.
Who let him in Disneyland?
I don't know.
Or
but
Disney World, whichever one it is.
World.
It should not have. Look, you should have turned his ass away at the door.
Mm-hmm. A convicted sex offender groped a Disney World cast member dressed as Princess Ariel. That's according to police who arrested him. Investigators say Brian Sherman, who's 51, and his wife. His wife. You bring your wife to grope Ariel? They were at Disney World's Magic Kingdom when the couple sought to be photographed with a female cast member. It's just weird to me when adults want to get a photo with a cast member and they don't have a kid.
Yeah, that is weird.
It seems odd. Now, with the couple was flanking her, the worker told cops a very excited Sherman first placed his arm around her shoulder as he told her how much he loved Ariel. Weird. The Disney worker, who said she was pinned between the couple, told police that she was uncomfortable because she had been trained by Disney that it's inappropriate to photograph a Disney princess when a guest has their arm wrapped around the princess character. Now, the victim, the affidavit notes, was immediately uncomfortable with the defendant's touch but was unable to move. Sherman, cops alleged, then reached around the woman and cupped and lifted her right breast for several seconds. Ah, that's not okay. The victim said that only a thin, skin-tight fabric separated her bare breast from the defendant's thumb and forefinger. Well, yeah, that's the costume.
Yeah.
That's all that separates your breast from the world when you're at work. Not that this is okay. The alleged battery took place inside Ariel's grotto, where a rotation of female cast members dressed as the star of The Little Mermaid greet and pose with visitors while seated on a bench. The Disney employees wear a red wig, a purple clamshell bra, and a green fishtail. Now, noting that the worker was uncomfortable sandwiched between Sherman and his spouse, a Disney photographer and another employee directed Sherman to move his hand away from the woman and pose more appropriately. After Sherman left, the victim began shaking and crying. That prompted another Disney employee to shut the grotto attraction down. Now, subsequently, identified by the cops thanks to the photo taken, he was arrested on the Saturday evening at his Orlando residence and charged with battery. That's only a misdemeanor, though. He was released with county jail after posting a $500 bail. Now, back in 1991, he was convicted on four felonies related to the sexual abuse of a victim under the age of 12. Ew. He was sentenced to 2 years of house arrest program for sex offenders and placed on probation for 15 years. So that's expired. Now, while his probation supervision was terminated in late 2006, Sherman is still subject to registration as a sex offender.
Why is he in Disneyland? Exactly. Disney World.
Exactly. What are you? Who let you in?
Yes.
Who let you in? And why is your wife going there with you? It's not okay.
Yes. Why is she? Why are you married to him?
I don't know the answer to all of this. So weird. So we're running. We're getting on the back end of the show now. So our conversation on the Mustang Mach-E, we're moving out to Monday. Executive decision. Going to Monday. It's been moved. And that's Florida Corner. Thanks for taking a trip down with us to the seediest place on earth. All right. So we've gone through all that. We talked about Target. We've talked about Amazon. Go ahead and do that. We're at about the half hour mark. So let's go ahead and get on out of here.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Now it's time for that. It's time for Speak Out from the Press Republican in Plattsburgh, New York.
Woohoo!
Oh, yes. First one's called Sign. Just out riding around, I see a digital sign up at PHS school. That's redundant. It's Plattsburgh High School school. So PHS, Plattsburgh High School school. Whose idea was it to put it on the side of the school? You would think you want people to see it. The city residents paid for it. Life is good in Plattsburgh.
That's all you got to.
We'll see. We'll see. Next one is titled Refugees. On October 2nd, you published an article about our president's new refugee laws. Funny, all it talked about is how bad it is for towns and cities. Why not the crime and money given to them for housing and food from our tax dollars? The local government should have a say. If you ever read Speak Out, all people do is bitch about the local government. And now they want them to have a say?
No more government.
This next one's titled District. Declining enrollment, yearly budget increases, lack of leadership, and no proven educational goals or values. How long before this school district is dissolved by a stable neighboring school district? Vague booking. Which one are you talking about? We don't know. We don't know where you live. We don't want to know where you live. Be clear. If you're going to go to Speak Out and complain about something anonymously, at least let us know what you're talking about.
Exactly. What neighboring school district are you trying to put them in?
Where do you live? What town are you in?
You ain't got but like two school districts anyway.
It's unclear. Everything is unclear. Are you in Chazy? Are you in Rouse's Point? Are you in Champlain? Are you in Moores?
Nobody wants to take your kids 45 minutes to the school district.
Are you in Dannemora? Are you in Peru? Are you in Keysville? I could name all of the town. I'm not going to, but I could.
By bus. Nobody wants to send your kid 45 minutes away by bus.
It's true. And finally, this is titled Wiry. By the way, Wiry is the local AM station there. Kudos to Wiry for retooling and upgrading their programming. It's like a breath of fresh air. It all sounds much more professional and enjoyable. This radio station's been on the air since the 50s. The return of Bob Pooler is a very welcome change also. Bob Pooler has to be 100 years old now. He's been old as long as I've known him. I don't know him personally, but I know of him. We personally enjoy the music programming. Thank you. So we're going to end with a positive one. Good job, Wiry.
Woohoo!
You know, while we've got the video presentation right here, I'm going to quickly go to wiry.com because I want to see if they've upgraded their website too. That's what happens at the end of the show. Oh, they're on the air. Listen live. Look at that. They still got birthdays and anniversaries, who we are, picture and history. I don't know why I'm looking at the big monitor. I can see it right here. Look at that ancient ribbon microphone. They're still using that. Goodness.
Did you used to work there?
I did not. I worked at the other station in town. I'm just saying. That's what I did. They also have birthdays and anniversaries. This might be a place where you can submit them. This is really small town radio. Happy anniversary. But oh, my God. Don't send them in by Facebook or call them in. You can fax them in or mail them. Okay, this is hilarious. Our birthday and anniversary show airs 7 days a week at 6:20, 7:20, and 8:20 a.m. Give us your anniversary or birthday greeting from where you are. You could drop them off in person by placing the greetings in our mailbox right outside the entrance and door, or even in person, just open the door. You can fax them in by fax. I don't know how else you would fax them in. And then they give the number. You could mail us at Hometown Radio Wiry. Don't send them in by Facebook or call them in. And leave at least 24 hours to get them on. If you mail them by U.S. mail, send them in a week ahead of time. Email is wiry@wiry.com. You could also click on our picture above to email. Could they make it any easier? And yet still it's a problem.
Of course.
It's still an absolute problem. And quickly, because we have a moment, we're going to go... the president and owner, William Santa. Sales director, Jody Malloy. Office manager, Teresa Langloy. News director, David Andrews. Reed Knapp, the DJ, music director, program director, supervisor. Oh, Reed. Chief engineer, Roy Edmonds. Corey Bell, the afternoon drive time DJ. He looks special. James Morales, the weekend DJ and fill-ins. And Velvet, DJ in production. Bob Pooler, not on the website.
That is the whitest radio station I've ever seen in my goddamn life.
Well, you should go to Plattsburgh, New York. I would say this is pretty representative of the community. There's some young people, some old people, and some interesting people.
Oh, man.
So there you go. I encourage you to go ahead and listen to them live and see how long you can make it before you go, oh, God, make it stop. Love you, Plattsburgh. We'll see you next time. Have a great weekend. Be good to yourselves, each other, and don't be an a-hole. Back on Monday with our grievances and more, and we will see you next time on the WTH podcast. Jason, feel better. Bye-bye.